Prepare the message this morning. It's helping me, it's stretching myself, and I have done this before, but it's been a while, so thank you for putting up with me this morning. And thank Dave. Thank you, Dave, for allowing me, offering me a couple months ago to do this today. I asked Dave what I should do the message on, if he had anything in mind. He said, well, it's in between two different series, sermon series, so whatever you want. So here you go, whatever I want. And I like movies, so you're going to get some movie illustrations today. I think I like movies because I like good stories, and our message today is, I think, a really good story that is in the Bible. We're going to be in Revelation today, Revelation 12. Is the chapter we're going to be in. And before we get into Revelation, there's a couple of presuppositions I want to have before getting into the scripture today. The first one is that God chose the best time in human history to reveal His Son. It was at the time that the Roman Empire was widespread and was beginning to build worldwide roads and trade routes. It was right at the time that humanity was beginning to merge together. Everything was all spread out, and it was at a time that just a worldwide empire was beginning to start. So messages could begin to spread pretty easily. More so than before any time in history before. And this is important when reading the scripture, because we know that it was meant to be spread across the entire world. The second presupposition I want to have is that God meets us where we are. That was true 2,000 years ago, and it's true now. Much of Revelation is God revealing His plan for humanity using symbols and terms that would have been easily understandable to the culture of the first century. An example being, a popular story in the first century was a mythical story of Python and Leto. Leto was a goddess in Greek mythology, and she was pregnant with Apollo and Artemis. Python was a dragon that was harassing Leto during her pregnancy. When Leto had given birth to Apollo, 3 days later, Apollo took revenge on Python and struck the dragon down. That was a popular story back then. The people of Rome at that time would have saw Leto as Rome. They were saying Python as any evil forces that would have been opposing, that would have prevented peace, and then they would have seen Apollo as the emperor of Rome who brought peace to the empire. Well, our text today takes this popular Roman tale, and that the first century people would have been familiar with, and shows the cosmic story of how Satan is defeated. I'm going to read the text now. Revelation 12, verse 1, we're going to go through verse 9. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to His throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. So, I don't have enough time this morning to go into all the different symbols that are being mentioned here in this scripture. And there's theories abound, trust me, about everything that's going on in here. And I took a whole course on Revelation once, and I think we spent a whole day just on this scripture here. But what I do want to do, sometimes I think we can get too focused on what is not explained and miss the overall point of the message. So instead, I want to focus on the obvious today and then discuss the implications that it has in our lives. Part of this vision is a cosmic rendering of the Christmas story. We just celebrated Christmas last week, and the child is obviously Christ, and the dragon is obviously Satan, which it says so in verse 9. Satan obviously sets out to destroy Christ, and he obviously fails and is defeated. From the time that Christ is born throughout his entire life, there's different times where Satan tries to set out to, he tempts Jesus, and he sets out to try to destroy him in different times. He used Herod to try to take him as a child, and then different times throughout Jesus' ministry, crowds were set out against him to try to take him, but it just wasn't time yet. Jesus went to the cross at the right time, and today I want to focus on the defeat of the dragon. Dragons were a popular symbol for evil opposition to good. It has been for nearly 2,000 years. Back then it was popular as it represented the opposers to Rome. In medieval times, loyal knights won the hearts of kingdoms and princesses by defeating dragons. I'm sure we've all heard of medieval stories of the knight and the dragon. The knight goes and defeats the dragon that is wreaking havoc and then wins the hand of the princess. Even today, in today's culture, in movies and such, the dragon is the evil force a lot of times. I'm thinking right now of the movie series The Hobbit, where Smaug the dragon has conquered the dwarves' mountain, and the whole series is about how they gained their home back from the evil dragon that has taken over their home. I think the symbolism of a hungry dragon looking to devour the good is still prevalent today. I don't want to get into the minute details of the scripture, but I do want to talk about the overarching theme in this scripture, which is that Christ lives and the devil is defeated. And I see two implications here for this in our lives. The first one is that we have power through Christ by living lives where the dragon is already destroyed. I compare this to when we go to a movie. I really do like going to movies. When we go to a movie and the most common theme in a movie is good versus evil. Well, when we're sitting there and we're watching a good versus evil film, we all, in the back of our mind, we always know that good's always going to win in the movie, typically. And one of my favorite series is the Star Wars movies, which the first three Star Wars movies, the whole time it's Luke Skywalker is going against the Empire, and he defeats the Empire's Death Star in the first movie. Well, then there's a sequel, because it's Hollywood, and they got to have sequels. In the sequel, actually, the Empire comes back, called The Empire Strikes Back, and it looks like they're going to win. But hey, it's Hollywood, so there's another sequel, and Luke and his friends come back and win the day. And good prevails over evil. Well, it's the same thing in our lives. We can live lives where we know the end outcome. The dragon, the devil, is defeated in the final battle. We know that in the final battle, Satan is defeated. In our lives, Satan is defeated. We can live, we have power to live our lives in such a way that we know the outcome overall. And that brings me to the second implication, which is, even though when you're sitting there watching a movie, you know in the end good's going to win, there's little battles to get there. And there, it looks like that you might be losing some battles, and eventually it comes to the end and good wins the major battle. Well, in our lives, there are little battles, little dragons that come into our lives that try to defeat us. And what I want to say is, when those dragons come into our lives to try to defeat us, I'm going to say a dragon is anything that comes into your life to keep you from living your fullness in Christ. Anything coming into your life to keep you from living your fullness in Christ is a dragon, and that dragon must be slain. A popular kids movie series right now is How to Train Your Dragon, which How to Train Your Dragon is a cute movie, don't get me wrong. It's about Vikings who befriend some dragons and train them to so that they can ride them and be friends with them. Well, I'm challenging you today, please don't befriend your dragons and don't try to ride your dragons. Riding your dragon is going to bring you down the wrong path. What you need to do is slay those dragons when they show up in your life. Now, how do we do that? Well, we've been given a tool, a weapon, to defeat the dragons that come in our lives. I'm going to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is a living and the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So here's our sword right here. And then I'm going to go to Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. "Finally, be strong and in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted to the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith,
with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here is our... this is how we defeat the dragons that come into our lives. This is our weapon of choice, the Word of God. We're coming into a new year, a new decade coming up this week. And it's a good time. A lot of people are starting to come up with their New Year's resolutions. And this year, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you for two things. I want you to think about what dragons may be in your lives that may be slain. What may you be befriending rather than slaying? And then a second thing, this is your sword and it needs to be sharpened. How are you going to sharpen it this year? An athlete doesn't win a match because they did not spend every day practicing years after years after years, or day after day after day. An athlete wins a match because he spends time honing his skills. Same thing in our daily lives, in our faith. How are we honing our skills? And that is what I want you, that's what I want to leave you with today. How are you honing your skills this upcoming year in your faith? If you're ready to accept Christ as conqueror of dragons in your life, and we are going to have a time of invitation during the next song, please make your way forward and we'll be more than happy to talk and pray with you.
Invitation hymn is going to be "Just As I Am." Would you please stand and sing with us?